Welcome to today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program. My name is Joe Sierwinski. On today's program, I am joined once again by District 10 Senator Jake Chapman. Jake, thank you as always for joining me today.
Thanks, Joe. It's a pleasure.
So first of all, we wanted to talk about the governor's condition of the state address. She gave that last week. So what can you tell me about what she talked about and how you felt about it?
Yeah, you know, without getting into a lot of the details of all the things she covered, you know, look, she laid out the successes we have had over the last couple of years and the fact that Iowa's the number one state in the nation, but that we need to continue to build on the successes we've had and, you know, really focus on quality of life issues for Iowans, you know, whether that's education and making sure we're number one state in the nation when it comes to education, or whether it's mental health and making sure we have funding for our mental health system. You know, she laid out her vision of continuing to build Iowa and continuing Iowa as the number one state in the nation. And so I was pleased with her positions for the most part. You know, it's always a starting point when she gives her condition of the state address. It's a starting point for her, and then the legislature will now work on working in conjunction with her on her priorities. Some of those things will get done, and as with most legislative sessions, some may not get done. And so we'll see how that progresses, but overall, I was very pleased with Governor Reynolds and proud that she's the first female governor in the state of Iowa. So we have a lot to be proud of here in Iowa when it comes to the governor.
All right. Now, as far as the priorities that she laid out, what are some highlights that people can expect the legislature to deal with this year?
Well, yeah, I think the number one thing, as we discussed before, is continuing to build our workforce here in the state and how do we retain and get other people to come here to the state. Those are things we're going to be discussing in great depth. There's a number of different pieces of legislation that I think are going to come forward. Obviously, we had Future Ready Iowa last year, and the governor called on about $20 million to be put into that program to help individuals who want to go into a high-demand job. And I think the really nice thing about Future Ready Iowa is it doesn't matter what your income level is, where you're at currently, we need people to be filling these high-demand jobs. And there's a list of about 30 to 40 high-demand jobs that Iowa Workforce Development has come up with, and now is the time to fund those programs to be able to get more people into those jobs. And so I think workforce will continue to be a high priority, not only of the governor, but of the legislature as well.
All right. Now, the legislative session is only a week old, so you haven't had a whole lot of chance to do much yet. But what are some early bills that people can keep an eye out for, as well as some budgeting and committee work?
Yeah, I was proud of the fact that Senate File 1, the first bill filed in the Senate, was my bill to eliminate the inheritance tax, also known as the death tax. This is a tax that collects nearly $90 million a year from estates. Frankly, I just view this as a plunder tax. This is a tax that its entirety and its purpose is to redistribute wealth. And so I have been working with the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, and it's a bill that I'm going to be pushing hard for us to eliminate this tax here in Iowa. And over the next 10 years, the state will have collected over $1.5 billion from this tax. And so it's important for us to make sure family farms are passed on from generation to generation. And again, businesses, small businesses, or whether it's just an individual estate, these are estates that people have worked hard to build to provide a better future for future generations. And I simply don't believe the state of Iowa should be taking that money or putting a tax on those estates. So my bill calls for a full repeal starting July 1st of this year. And again, working with the chairman to make sure that gets done. So I think there'll be some discussion about that. I also believe, having again talked with the chairman of the Ways and Means, there's going to be some robust discussion about property tax. You know, this is a tax that people, again, have worked hard to have a home, and they very well could be on fixed incomes, and yet property taxes continue to skyrocket. So I'm certain we will have a bill dealing with property taxes this year, and I think that that will be hopefully a major highlight of the 2019 session.
All right. Now, one thing that we didn't talk about the last time that we had you in here is that you are the Assistant Senate Majority Leader. So, talk about what your responsibilities are in that position.
Yeah, this is an honor to be elected by my colleagues to be an assistant majority leader. And what my responsibility entails is helping leadership form the legislative agenda and carrying that agenda out. And so we do have regular meetings as a leadership team. I'm also there, of course, for my colleagues when they want to see something happen or they don't want to see something happen. They can come to me and we can discuss it. And it's a great honor to be an assistant majority leader here in the Iowa Senate.
All right. Now, out of curiosity, do you deal much with the House leadership? Because I know that Chris Hageneau is also the representative in the Adel area, and he's the House Majority Leader. Do you deal with him very much?
Yeah, of course, I work with both of my House members, and being in the role that I am, and of course, having him in my Senate district is beneficial, and it's great to be able to work with him on legislative ideas and legislative priorities. So yes, he's a great ally in getting the legislative agenda accomplished.
All right. Well, one last question that I have here for you today is the public notice rule has been brought up with the Senate this year. Tell us a little bit about what you guys are looking to change and maybe allay some people's concerns about this.
Yeah, it's no surprise that the Des Moines Register wrote an article that I would have to deem fake news. We abide by the rules of the Senate. We have what's called Rule 39 of the chamber that requires committee process to be open to the public. It's required to have a day notice. In previous years, the minority party put additional rules on top of Rule 39 that were redundant and duplicative. And so a number of the committee chairmen eliminated those additional rules. The general public will see no change. You know, the Des Moines Register would like to promote the agenda of secrecy and non-transparency. That's just simply inaccurate. I've had multiple subcommittee hearings this last week, and all of them have been open to the public. All of them have had ample public notice to attend those. So it's just unfortunate when you have a media outlet like the Des Moines Register running those type of articles.
All right. Well, State Senator Jake Chapman, anything else that you would like to mention to our listeners today?
No, I'm looking forward to the session progressing and seeing what we can get accomplished. And as always, I'd love to hear from the people of the 10th District on what's on their minds and what's important to them.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me today, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Joe.
That's been today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with Jake Chapman. You can find this program at RaccoonValleyRadio.com. My name is Joe Sirwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.